to the Pirates' former Cedar Rapids Colonels pitcher Tyler Chatwood, dropping to 0-2 in his Cubs career. Ken O'Keefe audio for you Hawkeye football fans next.
This is not a celebration of the long ball. This is a celebration of skillful D. For when a major leaguer is flashy with the leather, he's rewarded with gold. Join us on Friday, April 13th, when Byron Buxton and Brian Dozier receive their gold gloves in a special pregame ceremony. And Budweiser will present the first 10,000 fans age 21 or older a commemorative t-shirt. That's pure 24-karat glove magic. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovullo and Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina each suspended one game for their actions during Sunday's heated confrontation. Lovullo serves his suspension tonight. Molina is appealing. NBA rookie Ben Simmons, who's played a critical role during the 76ers' current 14-game winning streak, questionable tonight against the Hawks because of gastroenteritis. Wizards welcome the Celtics, pregame 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Villanova's Mikal Bridges will enter the NBA draft. ESPN's Jonathan Givony rates him number 10 among the top 100 prospects for the draft. That would currently land Bridges with the 76ers.
It'll be really cool. It's just being home. And I played there, you know, this season basically every home game.
Right.
And I played their home games for the last 3 years. And it's, you know, I love that arena. I love Wells Fargo. My mom works for the Sixers, and they're a really talented team.
Villanova's Mikal Bridges. NHL Blues star Vladimir Tarasenko will have surgery on a separated left shoulder tomorrow. The team is hoping to have him back by training camp.
Brought to you by Pizza Hut. Get two medium two-topping pizzas for just $5.99 each. It's the deal you want on the pizza you crave. $5.99 medium pizzas, because no one out-pizzas the Hut.
FMLA, FLSA, ACA.
It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
There are two ways to pour motor oil. The hard way, which can get messy. Or the easy way, introducing Valvoline in the new Easy Pour bottle, featuring a redesigned easy pull tap and spout and anti-glug tube. Now, the proven protection you expect from Valvoline is even easier to pour. Faster, cleaner, proven. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Valvoline, since 1866. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life in a filter for $25.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and wheat-thin grass. But the all-new Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scott's.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scott's yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Triple Action today.
Sport Clips presents Haircut Highlight Reels featuring Rick.
Hey, everyone.
Let's roll the highlights. There goes Rick, stepping up to a championship haircut experienced. Oh, he checked in online, so he's posting up at the front of the line. Did you see that? Rick threw down for the legendary MVP experience. Hairstyled, beard trimmed. What a dominating performance!
I really didn't do much.
Be a champion like Rick. Get in line online at sportclips.com/check-in and get your hair in the game.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
I don't like it any more than you, man.
4:34, tickets to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium on the line for you sometime between now and the top of the hour. So if you want to see a great 80s-style rock and roll show right in your backyard at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Please continue listening. We're going to have Bobby Legesse of theLandOf10.com joining us in about 30 minutes. Talk a little Hawkeye football with him as Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland met the media today. A lot has been made about Iowa State canceling its spring game this weekend. That's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Did Iowa State make the right call in calling off its spring game this weekend? We were supposed to have radio coverage with John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network for you on Saturday. Yes or no? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Well, another prominent Midwestern school has called off its spring game this weekend as well. Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin releasing a statement at there will be no spring game for the Badgers this weekend. Alvarez says the safety of our student athletes and fans is our utmost priority. The weather forecast has been pretty consistent in calling for a good chance of rain and thunderstorms on Friday. We thought it was best to make the call early to give the numerous groups involved in the game, including our team, our fans, our media partners, and staff. Notice it says media partners, not the media. The media partners, the media people that are paying the money, notice of the cancellation as soon as possible. So Iowa State is not alone in calling off its spring game. Again, I know there are a lot of Iowa State fans that are extremely disappointed about that. I don't know. I wasn't privy to the discussion between Matt Campbell and Jamie Pollard about calling off the game. I know Hawkeye fans are using this as ammunition to fire at Iowa State. I guess there's not much you can – there's not many bullets you can fire back and forth in the Cy-Hawk rivalry in mid-April – unless you're into softball, since there's no baseball rivalry at this point anymore. But it seems pretty pointless to me. It's the spring game.
It would
game.
Be really stupid to play a spring game in the snow. It'd be,
yeah, and
I would make fun of them for having it.
Iowa,
if they had it.
Again, I think about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, Iowa played on an extremely cold, frigid
I remember that day,
and there was snow on the ground. And the people that I talked to that went to the quote-unquote game, which at that point it was still a scrimmage, they weren't doing the game, which they sort of went back to doing the last couple years. Everybody that I talked to was miserable. Nobody said they had a good time. So if it's September, yeah, it's completely different.
It's hard enough to go to a game in those conditions when it matters.
Well,
and then to go see a glorified scrimmage when nothing's on the line.
Here's the deal that I think people are probably looking past here as well. Cold weather, guys aren't stretched out
exactly
well enough. You get a pulled hamstring, you slip on a patch. I don't know how wet and icy it's going to be, but you slip on a patch of ice and cleats or something, and you bust up an ankle and you're out for months. So
no reason to chance it in the spring.
Call it what this is. It's a player safety issue. And leave it at that. As far as I know, Friday, April 20th, Hawkeye spring game, Kinnick Stadium. Less of a spring game this year, and again, more of the Kirk Ferentz-style open practice slash controlled scrimmage. But that has more to do with the construction at Kinnick Stadium than it does with anything else. I like the fact that they've gone back in the direction of having a spring game where it you get that feel and you're keeping score. Now, again, they do it a little bit differently in Iowa City with explosive plays, and that served as a punchline during the Greg Davis era as offensive coordinator, but we'll cover our bases there when we get to it. Now, speaking of bases, Royce Lewis is going to be with us on the program tomorrow. Very excited about this, the number one overall pick in the draft last year. We had him on the program after he joined the Colonels at the tail end of the 2017 season. We're going to get caught up with him again tomorrow. He's had a major development in his life since the last time that we talked with him. He's got his driver's license, and he bought himself a set of wheels. So we'll talk with Royce about that on the program tomorrow. You're going to hear from Iowa wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland coming up in about an hour. He met with members of the media today in Iowa City. But leading off was Ken O'Keefe, back for his second tour of duty, entering year number two of that second tour of duty with the Iowa football program. The former offensive coordinator, now the quarterback's coach, had a lot of questions thrown his way today, including who's going to be the backup to Nate Stanley, Stanley throwing the deep balls. What's the issue there? I don't think it turned into a Seinfeld routine, but I wasn't there this morning. I had other obligations. Kyle was doing his obligations of being there and brought back some audio. So here, after listening to this, are what I feel anyway, some of the pertinent highlights for Iowa football fans of Ken O'Keefe's availability with the media. Sit back, crack open a cold beverage, and enjoy the vocal stylings of Ken O'Keefe.
We're pretty convicted on recruiting Spencer Petras here. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and what kind of sold you into him? Why it seemed like you went after him pretty hard?
Yeah, I mean, Spencer, had a great career out at Marin Catholic. It just boiled down to we had some opportunities, early on that, we had made offers and didn't quite work out, and it got extended a little bit further probably than most anybody wanted it. Nobody expected it to go as late most of the time, at least, what I've been told, because I hadn't been here in five years, that the whole process of recruiting quarterbacks had been sped up quite a bit, where most of them are going to make their decisions, by the end of spring, early summer. And, we came out of the summer heading into the fall without a commitment. But, nobody pushed the panic button. We just kept looking for who we thought were the guys that would be the right fit. And it just worked out that Spencer was. He's got a tremendous personality. You'll love him. You'll love him as a kid. He's got an ability to learn the game. I think that's pretty special, and has worked extremely hard to do that since he's been here. And he's got a pretty good knack for feeling things on the field as well. But we're glad he's here, and it's especially with the the exit of Tyler Wiegers and Ryan Barton, that became pretty important that we had a guy.
What's the biggest growth you've seen from Nate in spring and winter compared to last year?
Decision making is much faster. The process of making those decisions is at a different speed than it was this time last year. Learning the system and trying to work your way through progressions is not the easiest thing in the world to do the first time you're introduced to it. And like everything else, once you learn it, become more comfortable with it, it works out pretty well. And he's done a really good job of, doing the things necessary to learn the system, study the playbook, study the video. He can draw it all up, and now he's teaching it to the other guys in the room. And, if you're able to do those, take those four steps and use them in that order, he's got a great chance of mastering what we want to do now.
I assume you were comfortable with Wiegers as a backup option last year, considering it went down to the wire with Stanley and him. What does Manziel or even Petras need to do to get to that level where you're comfortable with your backup quarterback?
They've got to know what they're doing, and that's the number one way to work yourself into that spot. And those guys are extremely valuable. Both of them are, Peyton's been here already for a semester, so he's got a little bit better idea of what's going on with most of the stuff that we're doing right now. Spencer's racing right along, trying to learn it, at the same time. So, we'll see what happens. There's plenty of more practice. We got seven more times out here this spring, basically, and then we'll hit preseason, and that's where everything will start fitting into place.
It felt like last year he was close to getting making the system work for him, being able to pull out what he needed to make a play really work. Does that you see continued growth there? Making the system work for him. I think Coach Powell talked about that last week.
Well, I think Brian's done a great job of making what we have in the system fit to the needs of our players, whether it's been the quarterback or, tight ends or receivers, running backs, whoever it's been. And that's really what this thing's all about is you know, you get the right guys on the bus. Now let's we get them in the right seats. Brian's done a great job of getting them in the right seats. And then, you know, he's been driving the bus really well, and you know, and he's done a great job of dropping them off at the right spots at the right time too. So that's again, there's you know, that's what spring ball's all about. Again, to find out where you know, where we're at, where the ceilings might be, how hard we, you know, we're going to push as hard as we can anyway, you know, and that usually, that is usually what provides the growth that you're looking for, you know, as a coach at, you know, from your players at your position to your unit, to your team, it all transfers working its way up.
You mentioned three quarterbacks on scholarship, is that a really unusual? Have you had to deal with that much in all the years you've coached?
I'm trying to remember. Can't you look on? You got a phone? You can look on or something and find out what we've had at certain points.
Though, because you may.
Yeah, well, I can remember one year, and I can't remember which one it was at this stage. But I thought we had only two QBs for practice during spring ball. I can't remember what that was, and I can remember, you know, you. Every now and then you end up low on certain positions that you normally, you know, weren't prepared for. But no, I don't think just having three. I think that's going to be kind of the norm a little bit now with the way these guys are moving around and doing things. So you just have to, you know, you just have to be ready for it. Simple as that.
And no, Brian Ferentz will not be driving the bus to Wrigley Field. One of the buses to Wrigley Field on May 12th, Ken O'Keefe with the Ralph Cramden inspired Brian Ferentz as bus driver quotation there discussing the Iowa offense. Again, you'll hear from wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland coming up in hour number two. You take a look at the depth chart. Nate Stanley, the clear number one going into his junior year. And right now, Peyton Manziel listed as the backup. Manziel, where's number two for the Hawkeyes? You may not know his uniform number yet, but chances are you will. He's number two, literally and figuratively, on Iowa's depth chart, the 6'2", 210-pound redshirt freshman out of Texas. And then Spencer Petras, the intriguing candidate here, coming to the University of Iowa and getting to campus early, going through the spring and being a big part of the program, trying to put himself in the mix to get the leg up on being the backup quarterback to Stanley this year. And there's some other stuff if we have some time later on in the program. We'll get to it as well. O'Keefe was asked today about Stanley missing the deep balls, which I know was a major criticism Hawkeye fans had for him during the 2017 season.
I think that this offseason, the Iowa football program is as locked into a quarterback as they've been in a long time. And I know people will say C.J. Beathard coming back for his senior year. I think he topped out.
Or Beathard.
Beathard.
Yeah.
But I think he topped out in his junior season, and what he was going to do his senior season was going to be pretty close to what he was going to do his junior season, except the wheels kind of came off a little bit. But I'm hearing people talk about Nate Stanley as an NFL prospect. I'm hearing people talking about his raw talent and his ability to throw the football all over the field. And as he continues to mature and continues to take hold of that huddle, I think that for the first time in a really long time, Iowa has a guy who is supremely talented at the quarterback position, and it just depends on what else is around him and the coaching staff to continue to bring him along. But let's think a year ago when we were chatting with Ken O'Keefe when he first came back to Iowa City, it was like his head was spinning in three different directions because I don't think either quarterback. Go back to the spring game. Neither quarterback stood out. Neither quarterback had much accuracy, and they were having a tough time picking up on the new offense. What a difference a year makes.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's an NFL prospect or not, but sources tell me Nate Stanley has declared for the NBA draft, but will not hire an agent. Everybody else is declaring for the draft. The latest, remember Hawkeye fans, the name Bruno Fernando? He was the Maryland player who terrorized the Hawkeyes this past season. He is declaring for the NBA draft, but not hiring an agent. So he's the most recent basketball player to declare for the NBA draft, but not hire an agent, which brings us to a running total of, I believe, somewhere north of 211 players declaring for the draft. You know what? Let's take a look. Let's take a listen here to Ken O'Keefe talking about Stanley and the deep balls. I think it's the last cut that we have from Ken O'Keefe, because this was a particular concern of a lot of Hawkeye fans this year, and I think a lot of it was nitpicking to a certain extreme, but there was this perception that Stanley can't hit the deep ball, which, well, part of that has to do with the speed of Iowa's receivers, and that's something you're going to hear Kelton Copeland discuss in the 5 o'clock hour. But here's Ken O'Keefe, again, the vocal stylings of Ken O'Keefe, as he discusses the number one criticism Hawkeye football fans had of Nate Stanley, his inability to hit the deep ball last year.
Last fall, early on especially, Nate missed on a lot of throws deep. Was that, he said at times it was because maybe he got to his look late and he felt like he had to, you know, overthrow just to make sure it didn't get intercepted. Was it a combination of that, maybe the receivers not getting, running the route correctly, not being there fast enough? I mean, what can you say as far as, I guess each one's different, but what maybe have caused some of that, and how did that get corrected as the season progressed?
You know, I know a lot of that in the beginning is probably attributed to, you know, poor coaching. You know, we, you know, probably didn't work on, maybe we didn't work on, you know, we didn't work on some of that stuff the way we should have. No, he's, you know, he has a better feel. It's all about time. Those balls are about timing and anticipation and, you know, receivers, you know, being where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And those guys did a really nice job last year, and there were some times where it just didn't fit right, you know. And there's a lot to that, you know, especially in the play-action game because of, you know, the fake is involved. Sometimes you lose sight of what you're, you know, where the read is. Those are all things that come with a little bit more experience and, you know, and you know, I think, you know, I think we made progress through the course of the year, certainly. And Nate, you know, Nate works hard and all that stuff, every phase of it at this stage.
So there you go. Ken O'Keefe talking about the idea that Nate Stanley can't hit the deep ball.
He'll be fine. And I've asked a lot of people who play the game, what's the major difference between the spread offense and pro-style offense with receivers? Why is it so much more difficult for receivers to pick up on pro-style offense? And very simply, there's a lot bigger margin for error for receivers in the spread offense because you're not necessarily running routes to a specific area of the field. You're finding soft spots in the field, and you're, the quarterback is reading it. Whereas in Iowa's offense, the receiver has to be in the exact right spot at the exact right time, and the quarterback is going to put it in that spot. And so I do think that Nate Stanley missed on some deep throws. I also think that there might have been some error on the part of receivers, which is what Ken O'Keefe hinted at after he coughed a couple of times to add, I think, a little theatrical effect to it. So Nate Stanley's going to be fine.
Maybe it was somebody we knew there at the news conference today earlier. But Ken O'Keefe working his way through maybe a little late spring or late winter, early spring cold as he's still readjusting to the Midwestern climate after spending some time with the Miami Dolphins. Kelton Copeland coming up in hour number two. We'll also talk Iowa football with Bobby LaJess of thelandof10.com. He's going to be with us in about 10 minutes. Also, within the next 10 minutes, you are going to see Hairball at Veterans Memorial Stadium this summer. We'll give you a chance to win those concert tickets coming up real soon. Stick with us. A big board update and more on the way after this.
Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has served as Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, and they're proud to bring you another Cubs report on KGYM. Find them at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. Anthony Rizzo's headed to the disabled list. That's the bad news. The good news? It appears his stay on the shelf will be a short one. The Cubs placed Rizzo on the DL Tuesday due to the lower back tightness that had kept him out of the team's lineup since last Friday. They've backdated the move to then, meaning the first baseman can return to the active roster as soon as Monday when the team hosts St. Louis at Wrigley Field. One problem for Joe Maddon inadvertently solved another: how to keep Ben Zobrist's hot bat in the lineup. The 2016 World Series MVP has been relegated to the bench this season, but has hit 360 in the early going while slugging 520 and posting a 968 OPS. As added insurance, the Cubs have brought up journeyman first baseman Efren Navarro from AAA. If that name sounds familiar, maybe you remember him from his days as a 2008 Midwest League All-Star with the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
Back to the Todd Brabelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
You keep using language like that, and you're going to find yourself out of a job.
Yeah, I remember Efren Navarro. He's a pretty good fielding first baseman. Not bad with a stick either. Made a career of it as a 4A player and up with the Cubs. Now two former Cedar Rapids Colonels, members of the Cubs. The other guy, Tyler Chatwood, he's probably not Cub fans' favorite today after picking up the loss in the home opener against the Pirates, but trust me, he'll be fine. It's a long season. How long do I have to continue to remind people of that?
Till at least July.
Till at least July. Okay, I'm going to be saying that until the All-Star break. Speaking of the All-Star game, the 2020 All-Star game, there had been some speculation that that was going to be at Wrigley Field, but another National League team has landed the 2020 All-Star game. Announced today, the Los Angeles Dodgers will be hosting the 2020 All-Star game at Chavez Ravine. It's been 40 years since they've had an All-Star game there. It's been about half an hour since you've got a big board update. Here's Kyle.
Iowa quarterbacks coach Ken O'Keefe spoke with the media today in Iowa City. He said that Nate Stanley has improved his decision-making and processing speed over the offseason, and also said Peyton Mansell has improved significantly as a backup. Wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland also spoke and said that the improved speed among the receivers is night and day from last year, and said he's told Brandon Smith that this year is his time to shine. Smith is 6'3" and one of the most explosive players in the weight room. Iowa's national champion at 125 pounds, freshman Spencer Lee, will be recognized by the Iowa legislature tomorrow morning at the state capitol in Des Moines. The House of Representatives will be reading a congratulatory resolution followed by recognition on the Senate floor. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell was asked yesterday about whether or not he'll name an offensive coordinator. He responded, quote, "I'm still doing a good job, so right now I'm not going to fire myself." The position was vacated when Tom Manning accepted a position with the Indianapolis Colts. Iowa softball's Allison Ducey was named College Sports Madness Player of the Week, as well as the Big Ten Pitcher of the Week for the second time this season. She went 2-0 in a weekend sweep over Wisconsin, including a one-hit shutout and a 3-0 victory on Saturday. She's second in the conference with a 1.5 ERA and third with 147 strikeouts. The Colonels went on the road and beat the Peoria Chiefs last night 3-1 and followed that with another victory and a wild one today 8-6. Alex Kirilloff was 2-for-5 with 3 RBI. Tonight after the show, it'll be the Twins hosting the Astros. It's Jake Odorizzi and Dallas Keuchel on the mound beginning at 7:10 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Yeah, watched the Twins and the Astros a little bit last night. Houston looking very, very good in defense of its 2017 World Series title. But again,
it's early. I had to beat you to that one because yeah. I wanted to give you a reprieve from saying it.
Yadier Molina and Torey Lavulla. I'm wrong. I'll wear this one. I didn't think anything was going to come of this, especially for Molina over the weekend after they got into it and Molina ran into the umpire. But both the Diamondbacks manager and the Cardinals catcher will be serving one-game suspensions for that. I don't even want to call it an altercation for that incident, if you will. We're going to take a break from a little baseball chat, get back to Hawkeye football. Bobby Legesse from the Land of 10 is going to be with us. But first, if you're caller number 6 to 319-366-16.